Hey everybody, how is everybody? It's good to be here again. Last time I came, if you recall, I went to get on to 94, so I get on to 394, and no sooner did I get halfway down the ramp when I had to back up the ramp when it was jammed over there right off of Sibley. Well, today it was good, so I didn't have to call. And of course, Boyd ain't here. He picked up the phone last time, but we just thank God for getting me here safe. My wife was in Wisconsin yesterday. My wife's a veterinarian. Most people don't know that, but now you do. And she was up there with a class, and she said she had this woman that was teaching yesterday, and I don't know what her name was. Let's just say Sarah Smith. She must have had 15 things after her name. My wife didn't even know what half of the things meant, and my wife's a doctor, you know, and didn't know. So she goes, "Dad, the woman was pretty impressive." And I wanted to say to her, "Well, did you give her a track?" you know. But I'm sure that wasn't the right, you know, context to do it. But speaking of tracks, today's subject matter is going to be soul winning. This is going to be topical because obviously I need several sessions to do a thorough thing with it, but I'm going to do what I can for you. We're going to look at some scriptures. We're going to look at the motivation thereof, whereof, why of, whatever. But I understand that this young man and his wife have been going out and giving out tracts and stuff. I am specifically doing this to encourage him to keep on keeping on, as all of us as Christians should be doing the same thing. But let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, and then we'll carry on. I hope I'm recording. But dear Lord, thank you for the saints that are gathered here to fellowship around your word this morning, Lord. Father, we pray that we're constantly students of your word, and we want to constantly grow so that we can be better servants for you, Lord, so that we can help other people come to understand the gospel and just grow in knowing what it means to be a Christian, that they could help others to know that too, Lord. Father, we pray for all the services today. I pray you'd hide me behind the cross. Let your word be the thing that matters. Let everything exalt and glorify you that's done here in this church today. And we just praise you and love you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. What's your passion? What is your passion? Is it Clint Eastwood movies? Is it fast cars? Is it handsome men, beautiful women? Is it just coming to church on Sunday? Is it money? Well, there was a man by the name of Dwight L. Moody. And you know what his passion was? He had a passion for souls. And I say amen to that. Now, think about something. At some point in time, somebody loved you enough and cared enough for you as a lost and dying person to share the gospel with you. And I thank God for that person. And what I want to share with you today is I am not going to give you a methodology. Methodology means I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of steps. I'm going to give you a couple, although I do have a whole thing where I can do four or five sessions where I do a whole evangelism course, which is really kind of neat. But I'm going to do kind of a topical thing, because what I want to do is I want to motivate the people in the room today to want to serve the Lord in this capacity. Now, if you wouldn't mind, let's get Daniel 12 in one hand and Proverbs chapter 11 in the other. Oh, Rick was talking to me. I never got to Daniel. Oh, there, did I? Okay, yeah, I did. Okay. See, when Rick talks, I listen. Okay, we'll look at Proverbs first. Proverbs 11, Daniel chapter 12. We're going to turn some verses today, okay, and I hope that's okay, because I am not going to give you a whole bunch of verses as to what to say to people as to how to get them saved. That's not what we're doing today. I want to encourage you so that you understand what it means to be a soul winner. That's what this little study session is about today. So, in Proverbs chapter 11, okay, boy, I love the book of Proverbs, don't you? Amen to that? I mean, have you ever been discouraged about something and you go to Proverbs or Psalms and you just get lifted up? Brothers and sisters, when you're down, go to Proverbs and the Psalms. I mean, think about the struggles of things David, King David, had to go through. And how many times did he say, you know, the Lord is my shield, my buckler, I'm going to rely upon him. And his trust was in the Lord. Even after, you know, he was a sinner and he had the other woman, Bathsheba's husband killed and stuff, Uriah, whatever it was. He came to the Lord, he repented of his sins, and he laid his heart all open in the Psalms. And the Lord still used King David mightily. But he never let him build the temple, did he? He didn't let him do it because of that reason. Okay, Proverbs 11. And I'm going to read 21st because I want you to see this verse. This has nothing to do with soul winning. Or 29, excuse me, 29. Look at this verse. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. Now, this has nothing to do with my subject matter, but I want you to see this verse because it's outlined in my Bible, and it was first, so that's why I'm saying it. Think about what that verse means. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. I'd like to submit to you, just on a rabbit trail real quick, if you are not going to be a good husband or a good wife, if you are not going to be the man she needs you to be, and the man that God would have you to be, or vice versa, the wife, and your children, if God blesses you with some children, sees you abusing your wife, if he sees you going to the bars all the time, if he sees you going around in a drunken stupor in your house all the time, if he sees your children see the wife not being under, you know, the guidance and submission to her husband in the Lord type of thing, your child, when he becomes a teenager, may cause you trouble. And there's lots of teenagers that when they become men, because they've gotten in trouble, we know what happens then, okay? They have to discuss it with the law or the judge. And I'm just encouraging you with that verse. Be a Christian, be a model for your entire home. Your wife will respect you, and so will your children. And down the road, Lord willing, you will raise a family that will serve God all the days of their life. Amen? With that verse? That's a serious verse. Now, the verse that we're looking for is the next verse. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Perry, I need your watch. Perry is my... We got to get a clock back here. We really do. Rick, what time do I go till? Oh, he's not even... I scared him. Okay. He that winneth souls is wise. Dwight Moody's passion was soul winning, okay? He that winneth souls is wise. Now, keep your hand there and go over to Daniel 12. Remember, he that winneth souls is wise. Daniel 12, we'll start in verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, and the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. What book are we talking about? The book of life. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. This is the sister verse to Proverbs 11:30. What there's he that winneth souls is wise. See, some people think that, well, I'm not a preacher, and so, you know, what I do is not that big of a deal. Let me tell you something. The moment, brothers and sisters, that you get saved, see, God saved us so that we don't go to hell and that we would have eternal separation from Him. God saved us with purposes. In Ephesians chapter 2:10, there were works that were planned for us since before the foundation of the world. You're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. But your works don't save you, but you're saved unto good works. Does that make sense to everybody what I'm saying? One of the good works that God would have us to do, not only to let our light shine forth, but when the people ask, what is the hope that is within you? You've got your opening. You want people to see your character. You want them to see how you act and how you react to circumstances in your life. If somebody troubles you at work and you snap at them and you say, well, I don't care if I get fired, I'm going to tell that person off or blah, blah, blah. People, I've had people when I'm a sinner too, saved by grace. I've made some mistakes, and I'm sharing something with you. There's been times where I have not acted the way a Christian should act. And you know what somebody comes up and says to you afterwards? I thought you were a Christian. Can I tell you something? You want to talk about stinging in your heart? You're like, they're right. You've got no answer for that, and the only thing you can do is say to yourself, you know, in your prayer closet, Lord, help me to react better next time so that people can see that my Christianity is meaningful to me. It's meaningful to me. Now, go over to Psalm 126, if you wouldn't mind. Psalm 126. Now remember, we're talking about reasons that to be motivated to be soul winners. I'm not giving you all, you know, the verses and the methodology as to how to go out and witness to people. I want to encourage people in this church to go out and be soul winners. And if you're a soul winner and your objective is not to fill this church up, but if God wills it, so be it. And then people come, they realize they need to have faithful attendance, and they will also then faithfully give to the church, hopefully, and that would help the finances here, if it's God's will. Okay? But the point is to get people saved. Now let's look at Psalm 126. And we're going to read, starting verse 5. We're talking about soul winning. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, the person that sows in tears shall reap in joy. Remember when I told you Dwight L. Moody had a passion for souls? Brothers and sisters, do you realize that if we don't, whenever opportunity comes up, witness to someone, you may be the only person that they ever get a chance to hear the gospel from, okay? And you have to purpose in your heart and say, someone took the time out to give me the gospel and to get me saved. Is it not our reasonable service to go out and do the same thing? Remember what it says in 2 Corinthians 5. It says, the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, in Romans 8, I believe it is, it said, well, we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That was us. Well, look what God did to me, for me, while I was His enemy at Calvary. And in 2 Corinthians 5 again, it says, well then, since all of that has already occurred, then how then should we live? Okay? I think we should live in constant service to the Lord. What is our motivation? Okay? So, we're still in Psalm 126. Okay? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, as I said before, few Christians are called to be preachers. Okay? But every believer in Christ is called to be a soul winner. It's one who's going to deal individually and personally with souls. Sometimes preachers and missionaries, they get so busy because they've got to run the church, they've got to put programs together, they're putting their sermons together and stuff, and sometimes they don't have the interaction with the public the way a regular Christian that would be sitting in the pew. And please don't ever misunderstand that any preacher is any better than any person sitting in the pew. We are all sinners saved by the grace of God. Some are called to preach. Some, you know, if you look in Romans 12, it talks about the gifts that are given. I know Ephesians 4 does too, but I'm talking about the gifts that the Spirit gives. Some people are given hospitality. Some people are given teaching ability. Some people are called to preach, and some people are called to do evangelism. Every one of us is called to do evangelism. Do you have a heart, a passion for souls? I want to encourage that in you today. So, here's a... let me give you a definition of evangelism here. I'll read this first. There was a Christian university student. He was witnessing to another student who was from a liberal seminary. And when the believer quoted a verse, the seminarian said, "I don't believe the Bible." The Christian quoted another verse, only to be met with, "I told you I don't believe the Bible." The third time the Christian quoted a verse, the seminarian became agitated and exploded. "Don't quote the Bible to me. I've already told you I don't believe it." By then, the believer felt completely frustrated and defeated. He figured that he was a total failure as a soul winner. It so happened that Dr. H.A. Ironside was a guest at his home. Some of you know who Harry Ironside was. He used to be, okay, the pastor of Moody Church in Chicago, okay? At the supper table, the Christian student shared his disappointing experience with the seminarian. And he asked Dr. Ironside, "When you are trying to witness to someone, and he says to you, 'I don't believe the Bible,' what do you do?" And Dr. Ironside replied with a happy smile, "I just quote more of it." Because the word of God is quick and powerful, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword, okay? Dividing asunder, and I'm paraphrasing now, I don't remember all of it perfectly, but the point is, God's word is going to do what God wants it to do, okay? Now, the meaning of evangelism. We can use this term. Evangelism can be defined as a concerted effort to confront unbelievers with the truth and the claims of our Lord Jesus Christ with the view of leading them into repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20? Absolutely. The Bible makes it crystal clear he wants all of his people, meaning all Christians, to be engaged in one way or another of soul winning. Are we not told in 2 Corinthians 5 that we are to be ambassadors, messengers of reconciliation? I mean, God has reconciled the world back to himself. The point is, you've got to appropriate that by yourself by placing your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And we need to let people know that they need to do that. You know what people think now? Days, there are many roads to heaven or to God. Okay? Brothers and sisters, I guarantee there's a lot of people that believe that. And look at all the different religions and all the stuff we have out there. It's just obvious by what's going on out there. I had my boss last year, her name was Val Williams, and She is one of those, she can talk a little Christian stuff when she wants to, and then forget about it. And I don't know if you know people like that, but they can semi-sort of act like they know a little bit about God and the Bible and stuff. I witnessed to her so many times. I gave her tracts. I sat down with my boss, and I was probably putting my job in jeopardy, but she tolerated me. I wish she would have gotten saved instead of tolerating me. She didn't get saved. And she said to me one time, she said, "Mark, I know that you're a Christian." She said, "Mark, there's lots of ways to get to God." She said, "Look, you've got Catholics. You've got Buddhists. You've got this and that. The bottom line is everybody's getting and making their own way to God, you know, the way they want to." And I said to her, "But didn't Jesus say, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can go to the Father but by me'?" Now, think about that statement. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can go to God the Father except how? By Him. Can I tell you something? Christianity is exclusive. It's exclusive. And you know what? That's what offends a lot of people. They don't like the exclusiveness that you must go this way. And how do you deal with that? Just the way that Christian student did when he talked to Harry Ironside. Just give him more Bible. Okay? Now, when you're giving him more Bible, turn to Isaiah 55. Okay. Well, the guy's saying, "Well, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe it." Okay, well, let's take a quick look here at something in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Now, in an interesting verse here, you know, it's amazing when you get up here and you start preaching or teaching, you come up here with this outline and you're going to go to it. And I know Rick probably does this too. You see some other stuff and you rabbit trail out a little bit. It just happens, you know. But, okay, look in verse 6 of Isaiah 55. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Remember the Apostle Paul says that we are to redeem the time. See, we're only as a vapor, okay? It tells us several places in the Bible. We need to use every opportunity that we can to present Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that way, we will hear someday, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Don't you want to hear that? Isn't that what you want to hear from God? Is, "Well done, good and faithful servant," in whatever ministry is that you are involved in. And if you're not involved in some kind of ministry, you talk to Pastor Kurth. I guarantee you, he can encourage you to go into one avenue or another. So going back to Isaiah 55, in verse 8, the Lord says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. And for as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Isn't that amazing? We think that we're going to do such great things for God and blah, blah, blah. But God says, "My ways are not your ways." In other words, when all else seems to be lost, when you're witnessing to somebody and you're saying, "Am I making any inroads? Am I not making any inroads?" You don't know. But you don't have to worry about it, because look what it says in verse 11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Does Romans 10:17 say that? Okay, so Harry Ironside said, "Give them more Bible." Okay, give them more Bible. So God is saying, okay, faith comes by hearing, because you've got to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross in order to get saved. Well, so you give them the Word of God, you give them the Gospel, And as you're doing that, the Holy Spirit is now going to work on that person, okay? And it's going to, at some point, Lord willing, bring them to a point of decision for or not for Christ, okay? So, don't worry. See, the power is not in us. The power is in the gospel. How do we know that? Turn to Romans chapter 1. How do we know that it's not in us? Let's take a look. Romans chapter 1. Rick, what time do I go till? 10:30? Okay. That's what I thought. Romans chapter 1. Okay. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul says here in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. Now let's stop there. As much as in me is. You see, that's why you need to go to church. That's why you need to read your Bible. That's why once you get saved, you're not just saved and then you don't have to go to church, or you're saved just to occupy in the pew. You want to study because the gospel gets you saved, but then you want to know why and what else does God have in store for you. So you need to study God's Word more, because if you don't get a more of God's Word in you, what's going to come out of you? Because as what you eat is what's going to come out of you. Does that make sense? Absolutely. So let's carry on here. Now look what he says in verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now here we go. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So, you see, it's the gospel that's the power. All you're doing is proclaiming the good news. What is the good news? That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." Now, let's look at some more motivation here. Let me look first. I don't want to give you the wrong. 1 Corinthians. 2nd. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9. Why is this right in front of me and I can't find it? Don't you hate that? Go to 2 Corinthians 5. I apologize. 2 Corinthians 5. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5. And we'll start in verse 7. It says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Remember when doubting Thomas, when Jesus had risen from the dead, and he said, "Unless I see him, I will not believe." And then Jesus came through the closed doors, remember, and he's standing there, and he said, "Thomas, put your hands in the hole in my side where the spear went," right? And after he did that, he said, "My Lord and my Savior, I believe." At that moment, he actually got to see the risen Lord. But you see, in Hebrews it tells us that we are relying upon faith. And we are actually more blessed than the people who actually got to see it. Now, so we walk by faith and not by sight. And then in verse 8 it says, "We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Now what the Apostle Paul is saying there is, he's saying it's far better to be with Christ than to be here. But then later on he says, "But it's needful that I stay here, because the Lord is using him to write more epistles and to, you know, help establish churches throughout the areas there." And look at verse 9. He says, Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of him. Remember I talked about before, I said, do you want to hear well done, good and faithful servant? I do, brothers and sisters. I hope you do. Because I don't want to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Does everybody understand there's a difference between the great white throne and the judgment seat? The great white throne is in Revelation, and that's when all the unsaved are going to be judged for their works, and they're going to see if their name is in the book of life or not. And if they're at the great white throne, their name is not in the book of life. The judgment seat is where believers are judged in what have you done with my son? And see, we know Jesus is going to judge righteous judgment, right? There ain't any of us here that can do that. Only Jesus can because he's God. So we're laboring to be accepted of him. And look what it says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, motivation for soul winning. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Remember in verse 14 it says, for the love of Christ constrains us, and then in verse 15, that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. The terror of the Lord, brothers and sisters, is what got me saved. I was sitting while a train was going by. I had a Baptist preacher screaming hellfire and brimstone over the radio. I realized I was going to hell. And I'm not going to go into my whole testimony today, but I said, I thought I was a Christian. And I'm listening to what the preacher is saying, how you get to heaven. I said, I haven't trusted in that. I have not trusted in Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. I'm going to hell. And he says, don't wait, do it now. Don't wait, do it now. And I'm sitting there, and the train's going by, and I'm on my way to the steel mill to go to work. I turned off the radio. I said, I'm taking care of this right now. What if I die in the steel mill tonight? I'm going to hell. Brothers and sisters, I couldn't get on my knees because I was in the car, but I assure you, I had tears rolling down my cheeks. I used to have black hair and a black beard back then. It's all gray now. But and I had hair, actually. And I said, I'm on my way to hell, and I placed my faith in Jesus as my Savior that moment. And we're going to get to what you need to believe in a minute to get saved. I'm going to have to move quickly here. But that's how I got saved. So it was the terror of hell. Why do we need to know the terror of hell? Let's see what the terror... I'm not preaching on hell here, obviously. Let's go to Matthew, get Matthew 13 in one hand and Mark chapter 9 in the other. This is obviously a verse that you're able to show somebody. Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 9 in the other hand. Okay. Matthew 13, Mark chapter 9. And let's look at verse in Matthew 42. Okay, let's start in 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. And look at verse 42. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Drop down to 50. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then go to Mark 9. And let's look at verse 43. And Jesus is talking about something here, and he says, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Into the fire That's never going to be quenched. Did you get that? The fire, the lake of fire, it's never going to be quenched. And look at verse 44. It's never going to be quenched. And what does 44 say? Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You know what they mean by worm? We're talking about a person's soul there. That's what we're talking about. They're never going to die. They're going to suffer eternally. Now look at, pretty much it says the same thing again in 45, 46. You'll be cast into hell, the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. So the point is, hell is real. A lot of people don't believe in hell. They think there's a purgatory, you know, which is, you know, has Catholic roots to it and stuff. And they're going to burn in there. Now, what I want to do here is, because I'm starting to lose time here. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we talked a little bit about hell. Let's look at, get Jude 23 in one hand, or get Jude, I keep thinking there's chapters there, and then get James chapter 5. So let's get Jude. So, why do we want to be soul winners? Jude, we're going to look at Jude first. Jude is just before Revelation. And we're going to look at Jude 22. That's what I wanted. But we'll look at 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Here's the soul winner now, in verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Isn't that the attitude of a soul winner? Don't you want to have compassion for your fellow human beings? The Lord saved you. Is it not your reasonable service to share the gospel and help them to come to know the Lord? Now, scoot over to James chapter 5. Uh-oh, what did I forget? See, I got yelled at already. All right. 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. Yes, sir. No, thank you. I meant to, but you know, I'm looking at, I got like 6 minutes, so I'm losing. All right, so let's go over to James chapter 5, and let's look at verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You see, we need to have a passion for souls, okay? We seriously need to do. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. See, when you go out and you're witnessing to people, you're going to wonder, am I making a difference? I'm scared, Lord. I don't know what to say. Well, can I submit to you, the Lord tells you to go forth. He'll put the words in you. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit resides in you. The Lord is going to help. Remember Moses said he was afraid? He didn't know what to say, and he said, you go ahead before Pharaoh. I will put the words in your mouth that you need to say. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 here. Verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, 5. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you have believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You got three steps there in evangelism. Look at that. Verse 7 says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, and neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. So now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. So here's the point. Somebody needs to plant. Somebody needs to sow the seed. That's us, brothers and sisters. That's every Christian. Don't worry about... Do you know that most people that you give the gospel to don't get saved the first time that you do that? They usually don't. They need to hear it repeatedly. But the point is, the more you come in contact with them, you continue to give them more of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has a ministry of convicting. Trust me, I got convicted waiting for the train. It happened to me right on the spot, but that doesn't always happen that way. So then, let's just say, I sowed the seed. I gave the gospel. Perry comes along, and the guy's saying, yeah, you know, that guy over there, Mark, you know, he's telling me I'm on my way to hell because, you know, I'm a sinner. And so people don't like to hear that they're sinners, do they? Heck, it still bugs me, and I'm a Christian, but then I realize, wait a minute, sinning is not supposed to be my manner of everyday life. It needs to be the exception, not the norm. Does everybody agree, amen to that? Because if you're consistently, constantly sinning, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, you need to examine yourself and see if you're in the faith. So, Perry waters. He gives him the gospel again. Or he takes him to some different verses and he's going to give him more of the Word of God. Remember what Harry Ironside said? Give him more of the Word of God. It's going to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. Maybe something's going to occur in this person's life that's going to drive them to the Lord and they're going to realize their need of a Savior. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm not saying that our faith needs to be circumstance-driven. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying for salvation, certain things may occur. Let's just say the person loses his home. He loses a loved one. This, and that. And they're like, oh, God. Ooh, God, wait a minute. There's a concept. And they go. And they remember what Perry had said and what Mark had said and Brester Kurth had said. And they say, you know what? I need help, Lord. Give me your salvation. I know that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. The gospel. Let's look at where the gospel is, and then I want to show you a couple. We're going to run a couple minutes late, so please don't get mad at me. But look at 1 Corinthians 15, please, if you would. Because there's a couple of things I want to show everybody real quick. 1 Corinthians 15. When you are witnessing to someone, if you're not sure where to take them, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, okay, and 1 Corinthians 15. Why do I say 1 Corinthians? Why am I in Romans 15? 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Look what it says here. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel. Now watch what this says. Which I preached unto you. Okay, so it's been preached unto them, and then it says, which also you receive, so it's been preached, it's been received, and look what it says, wherein you stand. So, this sounds pretty important. And look what it says next, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, from who? The risen Lord, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried, that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas and of the 12. There's the gospel. That's what you need to give to people. That coupled with Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and Ephesians 1, 13. I don't have time to go to that. What I want to share with you guys here is, years ago, I put together something. Now, where you want to bring the person to the point is Acts chapter 16. What must I do to be saved? There's the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The next question they should say to you is, well, what do you mean by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's where you've got to know some Bible and some verses where you need to take them, okay? Now, you don't have a copy machine here, do you, Red? You do? Oh, okay, well, we can print, make a copy of a couple of these things later if you want. I've got this thing. It's called the Gospel Plan of Salvation. What this is for all you soul winners here, or intending to be soul winners. I've got a lot of verses written here. It's got the question, and it has the verse that would go with it. And I've got it on both sides here. And what I did, I put this together as a new believer years ago. And I put this together as a whole thing to give to people to go out soul winning. And it's a track, Heaven or Hell, okay? And then there was another track I put on the back, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. Then, what I did is, if I'm able to lead the person to Christ, I gave them the surety deed to the Eternal Life Insurance Company, okay? And this is something that's cool for a new Christian. We're motivating people to give things and share things. So I told you I wasn't going to give you all the verses on how to get a person saved. But if you want to look at this, I can pass it around. The eternal life, and then you can see, there it is. There's your insurance policy. And it's all about your eternal security in Christ, okay? It's very cool. Now, also I have in this little pamphlet, the key terms of salvation, such as faith, gospel, grace, justification, propitiation, righteousness, salvation, sin. You need sometimes to know these definitions. You want to have them at your fingertips. So that you say, well, what do you mean? What is sin? Well, you say, well, it means missing the mark. Well, you better have a little bit better definition than that. Now, I have some other things that amplifies that a little bit. I had another thing in salvation here. And then I had another thing about definitions of key terms. Okay? And this is something here, right here, that I had, and I had a little pocket Bible like this. It was a New Testament thing. It's about this wide, about this big. And what I did is I blew it up, okay? And when I blew it up, this is the theme of salvation. This has a bunch of letters, A, B, C, D through W and stuff. And what it does is you turn it over, and this takes you to all the verses that you need to know for any given situation, such as punishment and hell. It's going to give you all the ones there. The Lord is the judge. We are saved through faith. It gives you... Now, you don't stand in front of a person and say, okay, we got 50 verses to go through on this subject, and I'm going to take you through one. This is something that you would use as a soul winner to help you win souls to Christ, okay? Now, lastly, here's the Bible I use when I go out soul winning, okay? You don't want to walk out with some big giant Bible because you're going to scare them. I think you're going to thump on them to death, okay? You don't want to do that. But what I've done in this Bible here, I wrote some things down in here so that I've got them right at my fingertips. See that first page? I've got stuff right there. I'm just giving you a suggestion for a couple of things that you might want to consider doing yourself. Like I said, we don't have a lot of time here. I have no problem if somebody would like to get copies of some of these things as we can, and that will help you. I can always do an evangelism thing down the road where we could do a couple of classes, and I'll actually do an interaction with somebody. We can pretend somebody's unsaved, or maybe we really have someone who's unsaved, and I'll do it. I will do evangelism right in front of you. Because I used to do, when I was at Moody, I used to go to the mission. Okay? And, brother and sister, you want to talk about a humbling experience? The mission is not downtown. It's moved now. It's humbling. If that doesn't move your heart, it's a big deal. Seeing someone, remember what the angels say? They rejoice over one sinner that repenteth and gets saved. That's important. God considers souls. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Whoever would believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that the passion of your life? To get people saved to come to know Jesus Christ? I hope it is. If you want to talk a little bit later, because I got to give Perry back his watch, we can do that, okay? Rick, why don't you pray for us real quick?
Father, we thank You for this lesson. Pray that You'll touch our hearts with the truth that Mark has presented from Thy Word and the challenge. Pray in Christ's
name. Amen.
All right. That was good.
Thank you. All right, Perry.
When were you a student?
Oh, what, 15 years ago?
I go back further than that. I graduated from 1977.
Oh.